This is a HeadGum Podcast.
For over 80 years, Fram has been a leader in automotive filtration because that's the only thing they do. Filters. Want to protect your well-oiled machine or breathe easier when driving? Fram has the right filter for every kind of driver. Fram oil filters are American-made, tough, and feature SureGrip technology. No-slip grip for easy install and remove, even with an oily hand or glove. Fram cabin air filters filter out contaminants like exhaust fumes, allergens, and pollution. And with the power of Arm & Hammer baking soda, you can breathe easy with an odorless interior. Find the filter that's right for you and go to Fram.com today. That's Fram.com. No matter how you drive, Fram has the right filter for you. Head over to Fram.com, that's Fram.com, and find your perfect filter today. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. It's a weekday morning and people are working from home in my apartment complex, but all you gotta do is trust me. It's me, your boy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, we got a returning guest, technically making her a recurring guest, and a first-time guest. Motherfuckers, put your hands together for the host of the Ruin Podcast. It's Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby.
I'm like waiting for him.
Thank you. All right, guys, check out their Check out their podcast.
Honestly, fine.
All I said was we did it and clap. We'll be like, that's pretty much all she could do.
I'm so pumped you guys are doing this, and I have truly affected my my neighbors now bring up Fuckboy and High and Mighty.
They ask
me,
God.
Oh no.
Yeah, one of my neighbors was like, I heard you say Amir on your podcast. Are you friends with Amir Blumenfeld? I was like, get the fuck. That was that's such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to get that kind of content, you better be subscribing and rating, my friend. You can listen to it. Not live.
No, that's unfair. That doesn't count as a click. I need you to log in. Yeah.
Yeah, you eavesdropping does nothing for me professionally.
We all lived in cities. I feel like the unspoken rule of apartments is, we know we can hear and see each other frequently, but you just never speak to it because you just don't want it to be like, I've seen my neighbor's ass or my neighbor's bush or junk, but I never will say like, hey, saw your fucking bush last night, you know, and like
high five. Standing outside your window.
a neighbor recently shouted to me when I was in my dining room, like through like the window. And they were like, hey, John, blah, blah, blah. And I just went like, I looked at them and I just closed my blinds and I did not respond. I'm like, no, this is the barrier. If I'm in my house, you have to knock on my door to talk to me. And also don't do that.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Don't talk to me.
I feel like in LA, there are definitely more like places where it's like the first floor. Like we have a courtyard. Like we're on the inside of, I don't know what you call those kinds of things. But the idea that like my front window just looks at someone's front window, and I could hypothetically just knock on it. It's antithetical to every part, like living in New York.
Right.
Yeah. Like in New York, like they would just shoot through the window as I approached. Like here, everyone is much more like, sure, this is fine, you know?
I think the quarantine has affected people because like everyone's around more. And if you live in an apartment, you're most likely not surrounded by families. So I'm getting a lot of like single people who are like, hi, I haven't talked to someone in 7 days. And it's I'm at the dumpster at the same time as you. And you're like, oh no.
Yes.
Dave, so the place we moved in, there's like, I would say it's like a mix. Like there's actually like two people who are pregnant, which is really interesting. So I feel like it's like young families. But so Dave went to go get the mail. And as he walked past, there was one of the apartment doors was open. And like you do when an apartment door is open, he of course looks. And the apartment door, in the same with our unit, the apartment door and the bathroom door are parallel. So the apartment door was open, and so was the bathroom door. And then he just looked, and someone was just on the toilet. And I was like, so were they elderly? Or like, what was the situation? He's like, as I looked, they started to look, so I looked away and kept walking. And I was like,
that's where you got to just give like a shaka or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, what's up, baby?
two thumbs rock way up.
I shit too.
Rock and roll.
I want to talk about this, but I have to talk about it quietly. I found out that the old man who I share my floor with murdered his wife.
Whoa.
And how did you find this out?
Because my downstairs neighbor looked him up because he yells at us all the time.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, I found an article about him. He's like this Italian actor. I'm like so scared he's just going to like burst through my door and kill me.
Me too. Holy shit. This would be like.
this is like a so high right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm so stressed.
I'm so stressed out. But like then we found this article about him and it was like his wife died under, it was like not ruled a murder, but like his wife died under like the most suspicious circumstances in their home. And I was like, oh no, 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 no.
Was it like 20 years ago? Cause I feel like starting.
It was like 10 or 15 years. It was like early 2000s.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that was the tail end of like men getting away with like
murder.
Eventually, like I think like murder documentaries started being like, "Hey, ask the husband," you know, and everyone was like, "Oh, right." Because I feel like it was like, I don't know, it was just me and her boating and she drowned. It was just me and her swimming and she drowned.
Yeah,
just me and her playing with a gun. Yeah, she got shot. Like,
yeah, I planned this whole elaborate vacation so we'd be alone on a catamaran. And, like, I don't know what happened, but I'm sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like that's what I'm dealing with.
That's wild.
Oh, that's... Sorry, go ahead.
It's crazy.
I was like, yeah, like every episode of Cold Case I've been watching is literally just some police officer didn't call somebody to verify something. And they're like, can you believe this? It's like, oh, it turns out he wasn't in jail. Or like, oh, it turns out that wasn't her typewriter. Like, it's like one key factor is completely wrong and they find out 30 years later.
Right. That's it's like, so crazy.
You're like, oh, well, I guess I'll never find my killer because I was wrong about where I got my typewriter from.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's fair. I guess my mother's death will go unvengeanced, you know.
Right, because I misspelled the name of, like, a business.
Right. Oh, because it was at gmail.co. Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. I blew it. That's really weird that natural segue. You guys might be new to the podcasting game, but holy shit, Libby, that was a classic broadcaster. I had this irrational fear of my Italian neighbor coming in and murdering me.
Yes.
Which is
very irrational.
Yes. Well, yeah, to be fair, that is a rational fear, but it doesn't happen that frequently. It sounds like it only happens once every 15 to 20 years in your apartment.
Yeah,
complex.
I think I'd have to marry him for it to happen.
Well, fingers see how long this quarantine goes. Yeah. We'll check back in 6 months if we're still in quarantine.
Yeah, it's like eat, pray, die, like the Allison Libby. Like, I'm getting free in the quarantine. I'm dating my Italian.
I would never pray.
I will eat and die.
But I will eat and die.
Possibly minutes apart.
One is probably a cause to the other.
Yeah, they're both on the toilet. Yeah.
Yes.
But your podcast, Ruined, is Hallie telling you the plots of horror movies because you can't handle horror movies. Is that correct?
Yes, I can't. I'm living in one. I can't, like, watch one at this point.
I know. And that's. I mean, I get it. Especially if my headspace is in the right space, I can't watch a horror movie. But I wanted to tell
you. Hallie, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can do
it. I find it incredibly relaxing. I find it, like, anxiety reducing. And we've talked about this a lot, but I really do feel like it's like I'm so filled with ambient anxiety, which is why this topic is perfect, that like seeing a horror movie and seeing horrible things happen and then having it resolved, even if it's resolved terribly, you know,
right.
I mean, some movies, it's so horrible you don't get really a resolution. But for most of them, it's like, okay, we find out what happened, you know, whatever. There's something very soothing about that because the horror movie, that we're in has no ending.
Right.
So, like,
as a matter of fact, it keeps getting scarier as every act after every act break.
Yes.
Yeah. The next two or three months are going to be, you know, the worst part of the third act of this.
Oh my God.
I hope it's the third act. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you're right.
It's better not be just like the.
Yeah, it's the
end
trilogy.
Of act one.
Yeah, exactly. We realized, shit, we're kicking off like a series of extended cuts.
This was like the cold open where something happens. And it's like, we still have so much to go.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, Benson and Stabler are just. Well, I mean, that's not really a horror movie, but I can't say cold open without thinking Law and Order. There's something soothing, I feel like, and there's like a mass love of true crime documentaries, true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
Fucked up, like, weird video. Like, people love to watch, like, you know, dashboard cams of insane car accidents or near misses.
Yeah.
My wife, Tiffany, is like terrified of spiders, like severe, like she has night terrors about them when we're not in the woods. But she'll also look at pictures of spiders on her phone and like sweat and like watch YouTube videos of spiders and like freak out. And it's some weird element where it's soothing. And I don't fully understand why, because I guess maybe being scared by a spider, and now I'm just psychoanalyzing a woman who's getting us money and health insurance 10 feet away while I get us another $180 from a CBD company.
They're paying like, you $180.
That's amazing. How'd you get up to that rate?
No, it's just 5 years of weekly podcasting. I feel like part of it is like looking at the spiders and being scared of the spiders on the phone is better than being scared of like what could possibly happen to me, like on the road with COVID, with a murderer, rapist, assaulter, fucking terrorism, biohack, like all that shit. It's like, and I feel like there's a little bit of that to horror movies where you're like, the whole time you can say, I know this isn't real, and then it ends and you're like, ah, the purge isn't real, and then your neighbor's like, help me, and you're like, oh right,
right, yeah. We're sort your neighbor's of... like looking through the window menacingly at you
where your clown mask says God on it.
You're on the toilet watching the purge, you're like, hey, come on.
I'm busy here.
I'm purging here. It's my Italian bulimic headed to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
But irrational fears have gotten is something that's been coming up a lot because in my house, because there's a lot of things to be afraid of right now. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm not afraid of a lot of things. Like, I guess my anxiety level is very weird in that, like, a lot of stuff people are stressed about, I can easily just be like, hey, it's not a, come on, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, you know how many more people die in car? Like, I'm that guy who has, like, the logic. Mm-hmm. But then something in my head where I'd be like, oh, no, don't stand backwards on the curb like that. You'll fall and hit your chin and you'll die. And it's like, all of a sudden, I'm like, just a dad. I'm like, hey, dry your hair before you go outside. Yeah. You know, you're going to get fucking pneumonia or whatever. There's just, like, things that activated me, and I'm like, what is this? And I mean, this is no surprise to a lot of people. A lot of traces back to my childhood.
Oh, yeah. This is weird. This is just analyzing our upbringing, for sure.
Yeah, that's all this is going to be.
Yeah, when it turns out I'm not afraid of, like, ghosts or murderers, but I'm afraid of, like, alcoholic men and food. Like, oh, man, never mind.
I'm afraid of being a disappointment. Yeah.
I'm afraid of, like, not getting enough food when we order or make food. Like, that's, like, a huge fear of mine because I was just, like, one of five giants in a poor family. So it'd be like, the Cheez-Its are here! And it'd be like, me and my brothers would be, like, fighting over the Cheez-Its like a fucking zoo exhibit. And so now I still have that despite being ostensibly wealthy. Like, I'm still like, oh, macadamia nuts! And I'm just like, eat the whole bag. And I'm like, thank God I got them. I needed that. So I've been dealing with a lot of my fears and anxieties lately.
Yeah, I definitely had that too. I remember like after dinner, whatever, walking to the kitchen, and my dad was just eating everyone's food they didn't eat. Like, he couldn't throw it away, like, because of his upbringing.
Yeah.
And not that I'm exactly like that, but I'm not like that. Like, the idea of being like, well, I'm not going to eat the rest of it. It's like, well, somebody's got to. You're going to put it in the garbage?
Yeah,
No, absolutely not.
No food goes in the garbage. And I will eat, I eat every single, and that's why, like, I've lost weight in the pandemic just because restaurants have been eliminated where I would be out with more than just my wife and finish
everybody's food. Totally.
Or order, like, I'm not at home making appetizers, two cocktails, a bottle of red, eating a friend's entree, sharing some weird side, and then a dessert. So I'm doing better than I've ever done before. Wait, and I'm sorry to just power through on all this, but Hallie, you reminded me of something. Listeners of this podcast have probably heard this, but I don't know if you guys have. I used to, in elementary school, stand by the garbage can. And as kids throughout their lunch, they had like,
this is the most gamer shit ever,
I would like eat like their chicken nuggets or anything that didn't have like bites out of it. And often chocolate milk was just unopened. And I would just crack it, finish it, throw it in the garbage. And I would end lunch with eating like 40 bites of other people's foods and like seven chocolate
now,
milks.
So there was no teacher being like, hey,
yeah,
you
that's
know, maybe
garbage.
It seems like, hey, let's get you some food or like yeah. maybe we'll talk let's to get parents you another lunch. About, yeah, let's talk about this rather than just watching you eat the garbage.
Watching a child eat out of the garbage fuck? Is one of the darkest things I can imagine doing as an adult.
It's crazy how much that is just like informed, like my, like, it's crazy how like, at the age of 20, I was like chugging the halves of beers that were left around to party for like.
Oh, well, I did that.
Yeah, there's like an element of performance that's there too. Like people going, holy shit, Gabrus chugged his third chocolate milk in a row. And like that shit kind of activates me in my little like 80s, like, this is what cool dudes do is like get cheered on as they give themselves alcohol poisoning or like right before he blows his ACL jumping off the roof of his dorm. This is like the highlight of my life. Yeah. But
and then we all went to comedy.
Right? Yeah, I had to.
Yeah.
Do you do you guys have any fears that like when you say them out loud, even you go, yeah, or like something that you're constantly worried about that even when you say it out loud, you're embarrassed or you realize how impossible or quote unquote irrational that would be? Can you think of anything specifically?
Oh yeah, I've got a list. I don't know whether
me
we
too.
Should. Okay,
I have a list too.
Hell yeah.
I mean, Slender Man comes to mind.
Oh, okay. Now, are you afraid he's gonna call? He's gonna come to see you? Or just
like
that he exists?
It's so well. It's like when I don't want to give away what we did on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, but I understand. There is something where it's like it goes back to childhood, where like playing like Bloody Mary or something like that, or like the Ouija board, where it's like, yeah, like I don't believe in that, but am I going to go in the bathroom and Sean's light and say Bloody Mary five times in the mirror? Hell no. I'm not going to risk it.
You've said it twice already, so I don't know what you're doing right now.
Yeah. You have to be in the bathroom and you have to be alone with the lights off. Thank God.
It's
got to
be the mirror,
say
right?
It in school.
You got to say in the mirror.
I remember doing it at my friend Paris's sleepover once. Yeah, Paris. And we were like, of course. And I just remember being in the bathroom and I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I'm like running out. And everybody was like, we saw her.
We went from like doing spooky stuff like that to like really like homoerotic pranks and stuff. So I yeah, this is right in Hallie's wheelhouse.
As I said it,
I was like,
together.
I feel like homoerotic pranks is one of your search terms.
Oh, no, terrifying. It is now. Note to
self. Whoever's on Pornhub searching for pranks.
Now is the time for that, like sexual pranks. I feel like it's like, if there was like, yeah, like Jake Paul, Logan Paul, like the porn version or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're doing that.
Two faux-cessed brothers, like, scared you. Time to jack you off or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
They find some, instead of a dead body, they find a hot guy in the woods.
Is this cultural appropriation?
Like
oh, jeez.
The saddest thing of all when a hot person is dead. Oof.
Oh, my it's God. True. I feel so bad.
Is anything a bigger loss?
Now, I feel like what? Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, now Slender Man is like sort of indicative. It's almost like representative of like something larger that's scary and it's weird. Like, and I'm jumping to like 11 conclusions here, but like something like QAnon, like is sort of similar in a way where it's like, I believe in this awful thing. And so now it weirdly colorizes everything or like flavors everything in my mind.
Yes.
And now nothing is as bad as the thing I believe in. So it's like,
I've
I watched my fucking mom take pills and like beat my brother, but it's not Slender Man or like I watched my president dismantle everything we know and love about this country. And it's like, but he's stopping pedophiles. Like, you know, like it's weird. This umbrella kind of like, and we're sort of talking about that where you like use that fear to ignore like real shit in your life. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, Libby, but
volunteer that it is.
Your therapist is like, would you like to talk about anything besides Slender Man today?
And I'm like, no, we're going to do another Slender Man session.
See, I'd like to talk to my mother. Just kidding, bitch. You know we're talking about Slender Man.
I just came from my entire family's funeral, but I'm here to talk about Slender Man. It's like, there might be other trauma you want to discuss.
Nope, just Slender Man.
Yeah, it's interesting that the QAnon thing, because I feel like it's like, oh, that's an example in which like an irrational fear, your mind rationalizes it to the point where you can't tell anymore. Because I feel like when I think of irrational fear, it's like, I know it's irrational that when I go in a swimming pool or a lake, part of me is afraid a shark is there. Like, that's when I'm like, so I'm able to control that. You know, like, I feel it, but I don't feel the need to, like, shout to everyone, there's a pool, maybe there's a shark in the swimming pool, it's coming through the, you know, the filter or whatever. Yeah. But for people in QAnon or whatever, what sucks is, like, they don't have that part. Like, that small margin between, like, thinking it and believing it is gone, yes. Which right. is just really, that's really hard.
Well, they would, like, look at a pool and be like, and if someone, like, the QAnon version is like, there's a shark in that pool, and it's like, well, I'll tell you what, there's not a shark in that pool. Yeah. Thoughts? Like, this this is like the most QAnon post ever. It's like, there's never been proven that sharks have been in pools, but sharks have been seen swimming in water, and filters are connected to this. So, thoughts?
Ergo.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's always like, that's the shit that drives me crazy, is like the people's counter arguments are like, well, but, and it's like, right. no, you can't do ellipses.
The people who are always like, it's not this, it's right. like, I can't. Like, I hate that argument style. I hate all, like, proof is a thing.
There's
like,
no proof our current Uber driver isn't a ghost, and it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess so, but like, let's just say it's most likely he's not a ghost, because he's driving a corporeal, like, human being. Yeah.
Semantic arguments, and you're like, no, use like one iota of logic to put those together.
Right, or evidence.
We live in the dumbest country.
But that part of your brain where you go like, but there is no shark here, and then you're in there, and something, and like, someone's treading water next to you, and their foot hits you, and you jump. And you're like, wait, I know it's a foot. It has to be a foot. It has to be, like, I understand that brain where your brain, like, I'll do that to myself. Like, if I'm out in, like, nature at night, which is something I like to do, or, like, out alone at night, something I like to do, 85 to 95 times out of 100, I'm fine. Every once in a while, I'm like, okay, what was that noise? And I'm like, and it could, and it's like, the answer is a million unscary things. But my brain, my brain is already at like, well, could be a dog rustling because there's a killer, you know? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. Yeah.
And I guess it's like the same part of our brain that's also like, when you hear something terrible happen to someone, you're like, well, they shouldn't have gotten in that car, or like, you know, it's like your brain wants to ascribe logic to its fear. So as opposed to being like, well, in reality, like, there is an element of chaos in our lives, and you could be as prepared as possible, then something you couldn't even anticipate happens. But people are like, well, they should have seen that coming. And it's like, how? Like, so many crazy things happen. You can't be aware of them at all times.
It's true.
It's very easy after the fact to be like, oh, well, you know, you should have considered a helicopter crashing on your head. Right. It's like if you were looking up, you wouldn't have gotten hit by the, you know, whatever. It's like, wait, what?
Right, yeah. Hindsight's 20/20 here, guys.
Yeah, it's like when people are like, you know, I walk to the car with my keys in between my knuckles in case something, like, blah, blah. It's like,
oh, yeah.
How much shit do you have to do to prevent something from happening?
Right.
Like, the onus being, and I mean, now we're just like, casually wandering into victim shaming or victim blaming or whatever, but that is such an
element. That's where this belongs.
Yeah, it's like such an element of like the logic thing to that too, where it's just like, well, you know, you shouldn't have been in the ocean if you didn't want to get bit by a shark. And it's like,
right,
like, that's like not how it works. Like, oh, I got my uncle died in a car accident. Like, am I not supposed to ever get in a car again? Like, you can't.
Like, yeah, and it's like our logic brain is trying, it's like our brain's trying to put logic on everything, and most of existence is not necessarily logical.
Right.
And I'm saying that's like people who believe QAnon, that's logical to them. But that doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like almost, it's like you're overlaying these things on random occurrences.
Well, then once you build a certain umbrella, you can squeeze anything you want underneath it. Like, and especially if, like, you know, truth or proof is off the fucking table, you're allowed to just be like, going back to like sharks in the pools, you're like, you're like, there's been a video of a lifeguard pointing at something in the pool with believes it looks like it could be a shark, and so because I already believe that it's possible, it's definitely a shark, and not like,
exactly,
well, what about the zero previous occurrences of sharks in pools, how does that and people are like, well, it can happen now. It's like, oh, fuck.
While we're talking about sea creatures, my friend who grew up in Florida she was like, my teacher said this in seventh grade, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since. And I think about it every time we get in the ocean. And because, like, people think dolphins are nice, like, overall, I think human beings are like, they're cute, they're helpful and friendly. And like somebody in her class was like, yeah, but you know, you hear all those stories about dolphins like pushing people back to land when they've like gotten too far out. And the teacher goes, that's only because you never hear the stories of the people who they pushed further out into the ocean.
Oh, wow. That
oh,
hits
my
hard.
God.
Like in middle school?
Yeah, was this like in math class? Like, what course was this? What were they learning?
It's just like Florida, you know?
Yeah.
That teacher like, hated dolphins.
There's a unit on dolphins
children.
In every class in Florida.
In
like,
Florida.
You got, you're right. You gotta. You absolutely gotta.
You gotta. Well, like, so now I think about that whenever I go in the ocean.
Dolphins are out there raping people. Dolphins, yeah.
That's what I thought you were going
to
say.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were like, that's a crazy thing for a teacher to say. Well, you know, dolphins, they're probably just trying to fuck you when they're pushing you back to shore. Wait, what?
They're just trying to find a place that's like romantic.
Right. You just run back into the ocean. Here's my scary thing that I saw as a kid, the sea creature thing. It's a lamprey eel. I'm just going to send you this link in chat.
And it looks,
if you've ever seen a lamprey eel, its mouth looks like...
It looks like a big leech slash worm, right?
With teeth.
Them.
Yeah, with teeth. Now,
oh my God, I hate that.
I think they're literally like 2 inches long. Like, but when I saw that photo, I was like, well, yes, if I go into the lake, I will be murdered and sucked dry. Because, it was like, look at that thing. You know, it's a monster.
It's so scary. Everything under the sea is scary.
This is a great topic for me because this is a constant conversation in my house because we are avid beachgoers. I am not afraid of the ocean. Like I've been in a, you know, within 6 feet of a shark, not a crazy one, not a scary one, but like I've been on like a kayak next to a shark. I've done a lot of shit. I've worked in and hung out at beaches my whole life. My wife is... She won't go in lakes because they scare her the most because it's the darkest.
Interesting.
I think lakes are the scariest.
If she can see
and I'm
her-
a swimmer. I love swimming. I love the ocean. Right. I love all of it. But like a lake, I'm just like, No. Because how did it get there?
Yeah, that to me, lakes are scarier than oceans for that reason because they're like an ocean in that they're big and have wildlife, but they're like a pool in that they're like to me in an ocean, you feel safer because it's like, well, they have an infinite amount of space to go to.
Right.
Like,
yeah, they're not going to come over here.
They're not going to come over here. They have like infinity. They could be in Europe.
But a lake.
Yeah. Or I guess we live in the Pacific now. They could be in Japan. But in a lake, they're like, they're eventually going to come back to where I'm treading. And they is whatever. But
yeah.
That shit, like, drives my wife insane.
There was a movie. I don't remember what it's called. I, like, saw it at someone's house when I was younger, and, like, the kids were a bit older than me, so, like, a scary movie was, like, in their world, but I was, like, not there yet. I'm still not there. But it was at a lake, and there was, like, a goo in the lake that was, like, coming up through,
That's a famous bee horror movie. Hold on. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Is that a creep show? I'm thinking of one where it's like based on a Stephen King book and they're on a raft.
They're on a raft and loosely put together and it's like coming and it's like attaching to their skin and it's like hurting. Like I think about it every time I see a lake.
I think it's either Creepshow or Creepshow 2 that you're referring to.
Creepshow 2. Yeah. Boy, as someone who hates horror, Creepshow's pretty intense for some of you.
I'm proud of you.
The raft is a great one. Yeah, you know, I'm real proud of you. Hey,
thank you.
Hey, good job.
It ruined my relationship with inland water, but
yes.
Inland water was the name of the girl's house you were sleeping at?
Yeah, Paris.
Yeah, we don't talk.
Paris
and inland.
Yeah. I forgot you grew up in Ojai. the ocean, I get, like, that's fair. That's like not an irrational fear. There are things in the ocean, like when you enter the ocean, you're in somebody else's ecosystem, something else's. Like that's not where we belong. Mm-hmm. So like I understand the fear. Like when people who are afraid of flying, like I get that. That's like an unnatural thing that we're up there. And people who are afraid of heights. I get, but people like I understand people afraid of heights when you're like loose. Does this make sense? Like being high up in a building with the windows, like that doesn't scare me. But
loose.
But when people looking over the edge of a bridge or like walking along, so, like that, I get like that kind of because there's that weird part of your brain that's like, well, I could fall. The second you think of the dangerous thing, you're like, is my brain gonna just do that? Like, am I gonna I can fall?
Right.
Will I fall? And that's like,
Even being on like a bridge or a walkway or like somewhere where like the railing is like up to my shoulder. Like there's just no way I'm like flipping over it and I'm still like, I don't like this. It's just too open air. Like I'm not going over the side of this bridge.
I remember being in eighth grade, we took a class trip to Toronto. I'm from outside Cleveland. And we went to the CN Tower and it had like a glass floor that you could walk out over and look down, which I hate heights. So I was kind of peering over, like I was standing on the regular floor looking over. And then my shop teacher, whose name escapes me right now, as a prank, pushes me out of the floor. So for a second, I not only think I'm being shoved, I feel like I'm being shoved to my death.
That's child abuse.
And everyone laughed, and I turned around and he laughed, and I did punch him, but I did get in trouble because I just punched him like in the arm or something.
Yeah. No, you're allowed to swing on your teacher if he, he's allowed to catch hands if he fucking shoves a student.
But I remember just that moment of like, well, I knew it. It's over. I'm falling out of the tower somehow.
Oh my God. I'm just thinking of how that would feel and like can't process.
That's terrifying to me. That feeling like that stomach drop. And I've jumped off of cliffs. I've gone skydiving and I still would feel that like that lump in my chest. I went to the top of the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, that like the Mission Impossible. It's like a, and they have like one of those like observation stands. And it like where it's like glass floor, and holy shit, there is something that psychologically happens to your brain. Like you're not supposed to be up that high. Like looking down, all of a sudden my brain was like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've broken enough chairs in my day. Like I'm not like a giant freak, but I am 300 pounds and most things are built for up to 250. And
especially outside of America.
Yeah. Fuck. Don't even get me started. Like I was in like Portugal with my in-laws, and there's like a lot of like old castle tours. And I'm like, thank God there's like other fat tourists there, so I feel a little safer. But I'm always the guy who's like, when I lean on the railing is when I fucking break the 17th century fucking stucco castle and tumble to my death. Or at least everyone is like, yeah, this fat American in cargo shorts shattered the fucking wall.
Right. And then, I mean, again, I don't want to speak to what happened, like who knows how you'll die, but like that is like where people on like, well, they see the news will comment like, it's his fault for leaning on the, you know, like people will then be like, well, he shouldn't have ate food and then years later travel, you know, like.
Well, what is this 300-pound guy doing on vacation? I mean, he should be at home exercising.
He should be behind some kind of curtain until he loses weight. Yeah.
High and mighty. It's your boy Gabrus back to talk about underwear, specifically Mack Weldon's. Am I sitting in them exclusively wearing just a pair of underwear recording this podcast? Yes, that's right. I'm wearing Mack Weldon's while recording a Mack Weldon ad. Technically, I'm not wearing Mack Weldon socks, but I was a moment ago. I took them off Mr. Rogers style right before I sat down here. Okay, enough about me. Do you guys need to know about the Mack Weldon Blue program, the Blue Loyalty program? Weldon Blue, if you will. Weldon Blue. How did I not tell you guys about this? I mean, I've told you about it every ad, but here's how it works. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. Totally free. It's easy to get. And once you reach level 2, that's spending $200, Mack Weldon will start giving you 20% off every order for the next year. So, $200 gets you your sweatpants, your socks, your underwear you need, and then all your replacement drawers or socks, shirts, sweats, all the cool stuff they have there. It's 20% off for the rest of the year. Not a bad deal. I personally purchase all my underwear and socks from Mack Weldon. I like the silver underwear, which is the Suprema cotton. It's soft and strong. And then it's got antimicrobial silver XT2. So it's pretty exciting. I do wear some of the AirKnit ones. I'm like just listing all the favorite fabrics of mine. But enough about that. Just go to MackWeldon.com/high and enter promo code high for 20% off your first order. So all you have to do to get 20% off your first order, get you started on the Weldon Blue loyalty program. Now I'm starting to sound like I'm standing outside your door like, no, trust me. Go to Instagram.com/MackWeldon. No, go to MackWeldon.com/high and enter promo code high for 20% off your first order. Wouldn't that be nice? What a deal for you guys, not me.
Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice, it's time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code MIGHTY and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Use promo code MIGHTY and double your first deposit. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code MIGHTY and double your first deposit. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
This isn't an irrational fear, but one of the most panic, like, ooh, anxiety panic moments. I don't think that men will ever understand this, but when you get trapped in a dress in a dressing room.
Oh, yeah.
Hallie, has this happened to you?
Yes, it has.
Men's clothes is so many separates that, like, I don't think this is ever, but, like, putting a dress that's slightly too small on over your head and, like, your shoulders are too wide and it's, like, you can't get it all the way on and you can't get it all the way off and, like, you have to dislocate your shoulder or rip the garment to get it off.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, my heart races when it happens. And I'll do it every time because I'm like, I'm a six. Like,
my heart's racing too because this is my search term.
Giant women rip selves out of dresses.
I was joking, but.
Yeah, what was I? Oh, I'm trying to think. Somebody was.
I totally get that. That is, because that shit of, like, you're alone too, where you're like, am I going to, like, open the curtain and, like, hope that the friendliest seeming retail employee here is the one, right, that eyeballs, yes, me? And I'm like, and hopefully for you guys is also, like, a woman, or, you know, where you, yes, can feel like, hey, get in here and hit this fucking snap for me. I'm fucking trapped. And yeah, ignore the, you know, I didn't know I was going to be trying on clothes today. So this, ignore this weird boxers I'm wearing.
Weird underwear.
Yeah. But this underwear looks like I got it like out of a fire, like it put it immediately on. Yeah, I remember
it's
going
too big
to...
and too small somehow. Like,
yeah, too tight in the front, sag in the back.
I definitely have underwear that I'm like, I can't describe how these fit, but they fit too tight in some areas. And I'll let you do the math of where it's tight and loose, that it's extra humiliating.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember going to, there's a store, in, I think it's closed now, in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, called In God We Trust. And I remember I was trying
it. Oh, it is closed.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like a skirt. It was like a mint green skirt with a pattern on it. And it got stuck. And in my effort to get it off, I ripped it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, drenched in sweat, panicking. And I was able to get it off. And then I had to basically ball it up in the corner and run out of the store. Because I was like, I'm not going to pay for this. I know. I'm not a decent person. I'm certainly,
also, like,
you know.
You're just paying to feel bad. I'm like, you can't wear it.
Yeah, it's like, I came here and made garbage. I'd like to buy it, you know.
This is getting into some shit that I can definitely relate to, in that I'll go into a store and be like, oh, how much are these jeans? $130. Okay, I'll take them in 38, 40, and 42. And I'll take them home and blast the air conditioner and try them on by myself with the assistance of my partner, and then come back and then hopefully remember to return the two that don't fit. Like, that's like,
yes,
but more than likely come back with all three and be like, I hate myself. Here they are. Like, I got yoga pants that work. I'll see you later. Like,
yeah, those like yoga pants that look like dress pants, but they're just clearly yoga pants. Like, I don't know who they're fooling.
Oh, bro.
I don't know who they're for.
I'm the guy who's comfortable just wearing athleisure wear. I have, like, the Sopranos body that it's like, it's okay if I'm out in sweatpants. It, like, makes sense for this dude.
I think everyone is fine with that now.
Oh, yeah, like, the game has changed. There.
This has been nice. Like, we've really crossed into, like, the number of elastic waist things I own has exponentially increased.
Oh, my... Everyone has just caught up to me, is what it is. It's like, I've been wearing exclusively tank tops and shorts for 8 years, and now I'm like,
yes,
trendsetter.
Yeah,
Welcome.
The only thing I had to buy was some sweatpants when it was cold and cold and cool and pandemic-y. I was like, oh, shit, I actually need comfy pants. I'm so used to wearing comfy shorts.
And
I'm kind of,
And it's fucking great. This is like the highlight. I hope the whole transition to most people working from home means that we're never wearing fucking button shirts again. I know this is going to shatter Hallie's boyfriend. I know Dave and I have previously talked about this, that little sartorial fucking...
Dave is fine to show out. I mean, luckily we have Instagram, so we can show people as close besides me. I'm like, you look great. He's like, I know. I'm just like, but it's funny because I feel like as soon as the court, well, as soon as it's over... being quotation marks, what that looks like. My concern for myself and for you guys is that there will be a complete, like the opposite, like a backlash where everyone is going to want fitted stuff and like more formal heels, going out tops. Remember those tight, low cut jeans? I'm afraid that we're going to go back to like the opposite
swing
of athleisure. Yes.
It's going
to
be like the roaring 20s, like truly like post-pandemic.
Yeah, where like everything's like glitzy, tons of makeup. But like I played mini golf in Tribeca last night, like on Pier 25, because I was like, I don't know, this is outside. Is this an activity I can get drunk and do? And it was really fun. But like it's near Grand Banks, that like boat bar. And everybody walking down that way was like, I was like seeing people in like, nice clothes for the first, like people were making a night of like going to that bar, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen someone in heels in 6 months. Like, why would I? And like, I saw like girls in like little outfits, and I was like, no,
not yet. I'm not ready for this.
No, not
I was
ready,
wearing like a fanny pack and rubber Birkenstocks. I was like, I don't know. I'm a camp counselor now. I bought a fanny pack and rubber Birkenstocks in one order from Zappos, and I was like, they're going to make a lot of assumptions about like what's happening on my end.
I ordered a fanny pack and a big wicker beach hat from the same company, and they must have been like, enjoy metal detecting, you know?
A lot of metal on those beaches. That's all I'm saying.
Have fun out there. I hope you find a nickel, you fucking old weirdo.
I have a
if you have some more stuff off your list, let's go.
Okay, so I wanted to wait until a little bit into the episode to bring up this irrational fear because it's very, very dark and sad, and I didn't want to stop. So this is my number one, and this is a true irrational fear, is leaving a baby in a car and they die.
Okay.
And now I don't have a baby, but my boyfriend has a toddler son. And luckily he's old enough that like he makes a lot of noise.
You'd notice if he wasn't with you.
Right. But he's still like if he fell asleep or whatever. And you read these stories and it's so rare. Like that's why I have to remind myself. It's like it's very rare. It's very unusual.
It just makes a lot of news when it happens.
Yeah.
Boy, it makes the rounds. And I think it's because like the reason it's like, oh, it's my fault. Like if I get eaten by a shark in a swimming pool, that's not on me. Realistically, I didn't know. Right. Or like my fall out of a tower, that's gravity. If I forget an entire baby or whatever, a child in a car, that is, even if it was unintentional, that's on me. And the idea of the moment you go to the car or like you're at lunch and you're like, that's it. Like that's your whole life is now revolves around that moment. And that's, as a result, I think that's why my anxiety keeps going back to it. It's like, there's nothing you can do. You can't unmake that moment.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh my God. I don't know why. Right. I'm so stressed right now. Cause
I
like,
know.
The amount of times my car battery has died cause I left it running, or like the amount of times I drove away with like an iced coffee on the roof of my car.
Oh yeah. Like, that could be a baby carrier for all. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't have a child. I don't have intentions to have a child anytime soon, if ever. And so like, that's not a thing, but and I think part of the reason why is like, am I ever going to be like mentally ready for something? I'm the guy who's like, nope, I didn't bring my laptop to work today. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I'm like,
yes.
Like, the one thing you need at your fucking job. And I'm like, yeah, does anyone have a computer? Like, it's like, anyone have an extra computer? It's like, I'll open Google Docs on my phone. I'll be helpful. It's like, no, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I also like get really caught up in like whatever I'm thinking of, and like my physical like actions won't reflect. Like I recently was like holding a t-shirt that I wanted to like toss on my bed, and a glass of water that I was drinking, and I wasn't thinking, and I just threw a glass of water at my bed, and I was like, oh my God, wrong hand? Like, I'm going to kill a kid. Like, it would be very easy.
Oh my God, a kid?
Yeah.
A kid
and I guess
car.
It's like, I know that I'm not going to intentionally hurt a child, or you know what I mean? Like, I know that, like, the things that are within my control, I feel very confident about. turning around and seeing like your kid like slip off a cliff or, you know what I mean? Like suddenly you're at the beach and you turn around, like just that moment of like a very normal day suddenly is like, oh, I can never go home. Like, it's like, oh, I have to go to jail forever now just to like get away from this moment, you know?
I've been at the beach when a mom comes up and says, multiple times this has happened.
Horrifying.
My son was swimming and now I can't find him. And Jones Beach state beach protocol, at least, you know, 15 years ago was, 10 years ago, I fucking wish. 15 years
ago. I know.
That's that moment. Remember? That moment right there, I was like, oh my God, even 15 years ago is a stretch because technically I worked there in 2000 through 2005.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
And I talk about it way too much. That's all I have.
Yeah.
The protocol is you have to start looking for the body. Like, it's like a submerged swimmer is what it's called. 99.9999% of the time, it's like, of course, the kid just ran off in a different direction.
Yeah.
And, or he's just buying chips somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and didn't tell anyone.
The mom is, or the parent, is having such a meltdown that the energy hits you so fucking hard in that moment.
Oh, God.
And they're apologizing to you, to the lifeguard. They're going,
my God.
I'm not even like this normally. I've always been. And I'm like, and I'm like, clear.
No.
Like, you blow five whistles, clear the beach. Everyone joins, like all the lifeguards start driving down from other beaches. And then 99.9% of the time, you don't find a kid. And then when you go to look for the mom, you don't find the mom either because she realized what's happening. Or her kid comes back with like an ice cream cone. It's like, look what I found. And she's like, get in the fucking car. Like everyone's looking for you. I cannot go over there. And like that feeling, when you described being at lunch and remembering the kid in the car, like, of like when like Tiffany, like every once in a while, and it's a dog, we live in an apartment, he can't be, she'd be like, is Arthur with you? I'll be like, no. And then all of a sudden it's a huge panic and it's like he's in 800 square feet of this, like,
right.
We'll find him in a minute
somewhere.
Yeah. Like if we open a treat jar, he'll come sprinting for you. So it's like, don't, but that split second where you're like, my responsibility is to protect him, and he's gone. Like that feeling.
Yes.
Oh,
it's so intense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that hit me so. It's even just like, hey, aren't you supposed to be watching? And like, or like, and you're just that feeling of like, I'm doing the wrong thing in the wrong time. And then if that thing is, I'm not watching a child, that's an extra layer.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me put that on you guys.
I'm glad that now we have that fear.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone should.
I don't even have a kid.
And it does get hit super hard when it does happen. Like, it's like this crazy ass thing. And it's so hard to have sympathy for someone in that moment. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, this is where the Gabrus brain that I usually have would be like, just imagine like what that person, the mom or the dad, is going through. Like, just imagine how hard we should not be hard on them. Like,
they are living with that guilt for the rest of their lives.
I've gotten really new agey in like in the pandemic, and have been saying a lot to people, being like, well, just imagine like what they're going through. Like, they're as stressed as we are, if not more. And like, that's all I keep saying. And it's really, and like, that's what's called empathy, and I'm bummed that it took me to be like 38 to like start having that vibe, but it really has in like the last few months, me just going like, someone is driving like an asshole, I'm like, well, who knows, like they're on speakerphone with their mom that they haven't seen in 18 months, like I'm like, all right, like, let me just relax.
I try and do a lot of the like, you don't know what that person's day has been like,
and
just
kind
of, and like from years of working in retail, like I was always like on the verge of tears every single day at every job I've ever had, because I was like, this is my nightmare, because I don't like interacting with people in that way, and like people will be like, what a bitch, and I'm like, but I didn't get into grad school today, like it would just be like a fucking crisis. Wait, we're all the same age. I don't have this irrational fear anymore, but in the 90s, were you guys afraid of spontaneous combustion in the same way that I was? Because I feel like it was briefly a thing, like, that was newsy. It was like on a lot, and it would be in shows,
like
it'd be
like
the X Files, Unsolved Mysteries.
I feel
like
spontaneous combustion is to the 90s as quicksand was to like the 70s and 80s.
It's like
it's in media enough that you're like, this is a common occurrence, and then when you're like, I've actually never seen,
you're like, oh, that's like not real.
Yeah, I don't remember being afraid, but I do remember being talked about as like, oh, a thing that's like, you know, we're always going to be discussing this phenomenon.
Yes.
Also, what is it? I'm like, I just Googled it. I'm like, is it real?
I don't think so.
I don't understand how.
I don't think that people mysteriously burst into flames.
Right. I think
that
there's always something. Like, there's probably a justification.
There's always a cigarette something. Or something. And
right. And they're covered in gasoline or.
Yeah. Well, how much did you hear about, like, I mean, this is more modern, but like Manchester by the Sea, but like those things of like small minor mistakes that anyone can make that like wipe out your family or like all of your goods or whatever.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like,
there's that Long Island family, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like the mother survived, her children and both of her parents died. And it's because I think like the grandfather took, like he was throwing away ashes from a fire
and put
and
them
threw in- away. And they blew onto the house or something like that happened and the whole place caught on fire. And it was just he just didn't know or he hadn't noticed they were still burning. And that was it.
I think it was Connecticut. Was it possibly Connecticut, not Long Island?
Sure, Gabrus, if that makes you feel better.
No, I mean, Long Island is tarnished, but it's not because a family died there. It's because democracy died there.
Hey-o. I'll look it up.
30 minutes and 30 years behind New York City. for life. shit like that, like, this is such a minor thing, but me and my brother got in huge trouble when we were kids. Like, this is like... kind of indicative of how obsessed with food / poor my family was growing up. We got a Costco or BJ's card from a friend.
BJ's.
And my mom went and got like a ton of frozen stuff and was like, we had the card for this. We borrowed it from Aunt Maria so we can go. And we got like $800 worth of food, but it's going to last us like all summer or whatever. And it was like, and my brother and I went down there and got like something out of the freezer and didn't close it. And everything went bad in there.
Oh,
and
no.
We heard about it. Like, and like even the extra freezer was like this new thing my family was doing to like try to sell.
Right.
And it was like this big quote unquote investment. Like my uncle dropped it off from like, he stole it from a fucking, you know, deli he worked at or whatever. Some sketchy Long Island bullshit. But, and the amount of trouble we got in, like, and in hindsight, like that, you have two kids in your house. It's like, yeah, we were fucking around with the fireplace and we left the gas on. Like, you know what I mean? Like we used to do the most dangerous shit. We just didn't have, like we didn't have the means to do something. Like if we had a fireplace, shit could have hit the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Also, you're right. It wasn't Connecticut. So I want to give you credit there.
Yeah. Plenty of shit to hate about Long Island.
Yeah, but not that specific tragedy.
But yeah, it is funny like how I don't know why, like I don't know the senators of New York or Long Island, but I know like New York or Connecticut, but I do know that tragedy you're trying to discuss is actually
across a state line.
And also why correct it? Like it has no bearing on the story. But I was like, if it was Long Island, I would know about it, bro.
Man, you were right.
Here's something that stems from being a hanging out in pools, being a pool lifeguard, and the movie Shakespeare in Love. I have an irrational and I briefly commented on earlier. I have an irrational fear of someone falling and hitting their chin on something.
Yes.
Like cuz I seen it a few times. Like we saw it in like a lifeguard training video, someone like bounce on the diving bar.
I remember watching and it's like someone catches it and you're just like, "Nope, it's over."
And like they bit their tongue off or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so when kids jump off the diving board backwards, which is something like, you know, which is like getting up to level AAA fear, like of like, I can jump off the diving board. Now I'm going to start jumping backwards before I start diving or somersaulting or whatever. They jump off backwards. I'm always like, it's so hard. And then, and in Shakespeare in Love, there's a scene where they're like acting on stage. And I think it's Affleck is like walking backwards off the stage in the scene and steps off the stage and like hits his chin. And it's so, it's so visceral and real looking. It's great stunt, you know? But like when you're a kid, you used to be like, oh, and like hit the desk and like, but it worked on me so much that I've seen that movie once when it came out. And that is the only thing I remember from it.
Damn.
Yeah. And so like, kids bouncing on diving boards, people like standing like on something where there's a ledge anywhere. I'm irrationally afraid that
that's a good one.
They're gonna fall, hit their chin, and I'm gonna be like, think, lights out, tongue bite off, shatter their teeth, whatever, like whatever version of that. Yeah, that's like where my brain is at if anyone's standing on a ledge. Yeah.
Oh. Oh God.
Yeah, I feel like I have sort of, I think maybe this is a 90s thing too. Similar to that was sort of the idea, like, if you got into a fight and punched someone, they could accidentally die, like, either by hitting their head or, like, you punched them the wrong way or whatever. And, of course, that makes me think of Con Air, because I believe that's the premise of it. He gets into a bar fight. And
because he has ranger training, it's considered. Yes. It's all
he's
a deadly weapon.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Poor Cameron Poe is sent to jail.
Okay, it's a good movie.
It's a phenomenal movie. I always talk about this. I was telling Dave about this, like, I've told him a million times. But I remember a couple years ago, I was at my brother's house for Christmas, and I had, like, screeners, you know? And I was like, oh, let's watch, like Christmassy, and we were, like, something fun. And so we put on La La Land, and we watched the opening number in dead silence. And then my other brother says, can we watch Con Air? And we watched Con Air and had a blast. We're all like, yes!
That's objectively a better movie.
Put I mean, I'll never know. I haven't
seen it. Put the bunny down.
I cried, like, when the song comes on, and he sees Leanne his Rimes family song. Again. I'm like, how do I live?
Yeah,
I recently rewatched that movie, and, like, the entire John Cusack subplot, you're like, I can't believe I never remembered this part. Like, watching this,
it's so weird.
There's so much to it, too. It's like the stealing of the car of the dickhead, and, like, all that shit. It's I forgot about all that.
Steve Buscemi being, like, a Hannibal Lecter style, like, freak.
Yeah, and it's like playing for comedy. I drove through states with her face as a hat or whatever, and you're like, and it's like,
and he has, like, that tea party with that little girl, and you're like, what happens to her?
I know.
She's fine.
That's that was horrifying. And
yeah, why did they do that? Anyway, great film. Oh. I thought you were gonna be like, I had a screener of Con Air.
I was like, how long have you been a writer, Hallie?
Also, the fact that the concept of that being a screener movie is so
funny. Your consideration.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they're
just
going to
have to Virus for Best Supporting.
They're going to have to at this point if, you know, they can't.
Unhinged is
going to
be a Golden Globe nominee, unquestionably.
I know, I want to, like, get a movie out ASAP, like, just put it in the running.
I know, you'll win something.
What about all the true crime stuff? Is that do we file that under irrational? Like, to me, and this is male privilege. This is giant 300-pound.
Thank you for acknowledging.
This
Thank
is
you.
6 foot
Thank
two,
you.
300-pound male privilege, which allows me to jog at night and also not open the shower curtain when I come home from being away. But that's something now.
I do that.
My wife does that. My wife has her keys out when she walks to the car. Like, all the murderino shit, all that shit. She does it all. And do you think there's an element? I mean, obviously, it's shit that happens, but do you think there's an element of, like, so much coverage of it, like the baby in a car, that, like, where maybe, and there's nothing wrong with being cautious all the time, but are we overreacting to something that isn't as big of a, like, does that make sense? Like, my wife,
I think,
like, I know people who will have, like, a couple of drinks and drive, but will walk with their keys between their fingers, or, like, shine a flashlight under their car as they work up.
Right. And it's like, you're way more likely to crash your car drunk than you are to get murdered by a random person.
Yeah. And, like, realistically, I mean, this is morbid. And I think it's, like, a true crime. Like, when we were talking about, sort of, like, I feel like now, like, people are more aware of, like, the police are not always a reliable source, or, like, but what we take as the facts of a historic case, it might be wrong, you know, and sort of, I think before, like as we grew up, it was sort of like, oh, if this is, like, a mysterious or, like, a crazy true crime story, the facts that we were being presented, we accepted as true. And now we're sort of realizing, like, maybe they were true, maybe they're based on faulty science, like, even stuff like blood splatter or whatever. So I do think that it is overblown. There aren't, not that they're the murder, each murder, it takes a life, obviously, but, like, in terms of, like, the average person being in that situation is very unlikely. And then, honestly, my white female privileges, if I'm going to be murdered, it's going to be by my husband or domestic partner, which is, like, and that's the thing about, like, QAnon, too, where it's like, yes, are there very wealthy, like, people like Jeffrey Epstein? Absolutely. Most people are molested by people or abused by people they know, either family members or people close to the family. And that's the thing we don't want to address. So I do agree, like, I think this week somebody published an article where it's like, true crime cannot be as privileged and white as it has been. And I think the reason it has been privileged and white is that, as white people, we have accepted the narratives that police have presented us, whereas other people are like, you can't trust that these facts are real.
Yeah,
right.
And so I think that's part, I completely agree, it's overblown. And more than that, it's like, the the detail, we like the age of accepting a police narrative, or that these are the five facts that we absolutely know, is just over. Because now we realize, even if it was intentional or incompetence or a mix-up or something, innocent people go to jail all the time, murderers get away with it and keep on going for a lot of different reasons. So, I agree with that.
Even when I was 25 and my friends who had become cops, I knew were like not the brightest or nicest or coolest people. And I was like, still not disillusioned or disenfranchised by the cops. Again, this is white privilege. I was just like, man, some of them could be pretty dumb, but I trust that the guys at the top are fucking tight, you know, nice detectives who are smart and think about it, you know. And it's like, oh, wait, no. And then in the last few years, you're like, oh, right. Yeah, no, that's not like we were. As we said, we're the same age. Like, we grew up where it's like, if anything is going wrong, you talk to a cop. It's like, what if the cops are doing stuff wrong? It's like, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. They're just like you. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm a piece of shit. It's like, I'm a piece of shit like, who doesn't want to hold a gun for a living. Like, I get like,
There's a lot of stuff. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I had heard like somewhere someone threw out the theory that for the true crime stuff is also like a safe place for women and people who are fans of it to share their fears and hear that they're not alone in like the irrational fear of someone waiting in the shower.
Yes.
And I think like for some people, like my wife watching the videos of spiders, there's some part of people I think that listen to that and are like, okay, good. Yeah, I am right to look under the bed. That shit can happen, you know? And and I think if it makes people feel better, then that's great. But I'm worried about the amount of, and like, I'm just a fucking guy hosting a podcast saying like the one of the most successful podcasts in the world, like that genre might be affecting us negatively. You know what I mean? That's how I kind of feel like talking about any like one specific incident this much really like lets people believe it's bigger than it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like that a lot of that has to do with like how we talk about it. I think you're right. Like we should talk about how like these things are outliers and also just sort of, I don't know. I feel like, you can't really control the whole genre yet, but I guess like more and more true crime is sort of having those conversations.
Yeah,
I think
you're right.
And
I think you're right too.
So like, I think it is soothing to people, but to talk about these fears, but at the same time, like you also in the genre have to be like, here's where these fears are from. Like here's the society in which people cultivate fear. And also, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what advertisers you have on your podcast, but one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of podcasts that I listen to have like home security ads. I believe that's, to your point, I believe the idea that most normal people need to have home security systems is not real. And in order to sell them, they have to prey on people's fears about home invasion, which does happen, but is an extremely rare occurrence. And so it's like, I'm not going to tell people they shouldn't have a home alarm, especially if like, you know what I mean? There are different circumstances that people have experienced in their life. Go ahead and get it. But there is something where it's like, in order to sell certain things, you have to provoke people's innate fears. I think if you're going to do that, then we also have to have a lot of stuff like questioning, well, why are we afraid of these people, of these things happening? What happens when they do happen? How do the police actually respond to it? Which hopefully people will continue to do.
Right.
Yeah.
We have this conversation a lot in my house because we have an alarm system in our apartment where we own like the most expensive thing I own, I'm talking to you on. Like the most expensive thing in our house. Yes. We lease our cars. Like and like this is literally the most expensive thing I own is a 2012 iMac. And but we have home security and we've been paying X amount of dollars a month and that X is not low. And it's only gone off like three or four times when we weren't home. And every time it's the cops are called and nothing is wrong, it's wind or it's something happened, someone jiggled the window or whatever, maybe. And it costs us $200 because if the police are called to your house, you are charged a fee.
What? That's crazy.
So to me.
Wait, who charges you the fee? The security system?
I think the cops charge the security system. The security system charges us. Or
what a fucking racket!
What a racket! And I know, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. And it's like, I guess it makes sense if you get a lot of false calls. But now if these if these security companies are getting lots of false calls, then it's like weirdly like zhuzhing up the money. And
that's a really good point. Like, who's to say why those alarms went off?
And this is very fucked up. This is like an aggressive fucked up stance, but this is what I always say to my wife, which I think is logic, but I think doesn't help her feel better. I'm like, if someone wants to break into this house, ADT is not going to stop. Like, it's like when my wife is like, make sure this window is shut. I'm worried about these windows. We should make sure we put this over here. I'm like, babe, if someone really wants to get into our apartment built in the 1960s, like, they are going to fucking get it. Like, if someone gets into this apartment, we're in a whole new hairy situation. Like, don't
And on top of it, there'll be an alarm, a really loud alarm going off while they attack us.
That's all I get. I'm always just like, we're fucked if someone's in here. It's like you know, like she's like, well, we need to have a gun or we need to have some. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, by the time someone gets in here, like, we're past gun and stuff. We're like climbing out the window. Right. We're like terrified, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not saying like to not have that, but I do feel like it's to resolve the emotion, the anxiety of a potential home invasion rather than to actually prevent or stop in the middle of if something were to genuinely happen.
Yeah. Like Adam Ruins Everything did an episode about like the TSA, and he called it, and I'm sure this is not his term, but I saw it referred to as security theater, where it just lets you feel safe by going through security and scanning your body. But he's like, but that explains how little stuff it actually catches and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And all the, and all the TSA and all the shit you have to do. And it's like, oh, and that, I feel like ADT, home security, deadbolts, like a lot of this stuff is just like, you know, make you feel better, pay money to feel safer, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's like the sanitation theater that's going on now. Like, everywhere has like a million Clorox wipes and sanitizer. And it's like, that's not even how we get it. We know that's not how we get coronavirus. And like, everybody's like, but they used bleach on the floor of the subway. And it's like, yeah, but then someone coughed in my mouth. Like, it's just not, like, it's just all to make you feel safer because it looks safer. Yeah. Like,
and I mean, that's ostensibly what, like, the police are, right? Like, to a degree, part of their job is to be like, we stand here in Times Square with guns. We're at, we're in, I mean, especially in, like, early 2000s New York, it would be like, well, previously on the Long Island Railroad, there wasn't two guys with machine guns waiting in front of Rose's Pizza and Pasta. Now there is. And
now
And now, and it's like, and that's like, if a terrorist is like gonna blow up a subway station, like a subway train, it's not like two guys with machine guns are gonna be able to stop that. But there is an element of like, oh, I feel people, I don't, because I'm, you know, a lefty anti-cop freak. But like, I understand for a lot of people that they feel safer knowing a cop with a gun is standing. Like, that's
right.
And like, that's crazy. Like that weird thing of like that we're paying so much money or so much resources or so much brain space to this thing of just to make ourselves feel safer as we go about life, which is arguably maybe worth it. Like, you just look at the finance, like, hey, for $58 a month, ADT makes me feel like I can sleep at night. Like, and I get that. And like, I think, you know, people just want, like, if someone touches their doorknob for it to go off. So like, they know someone touched their doorknob or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It's sort of like, how do we negotiate like our fear of the unknown or things that'll possibly happen with like not letting that fear affect how we allow society to be put together with the, like, it's like, we have to talk about like, if there are now a bunch of cops, what does that mean for the people who live, you know, in that community or whatever, you know, like, yeah, like for everything that we, it's like, there's is a trade-off for everything, you know, with regards to assuaging our own anxiety, especially as white people. I'm not saying get rid of your home security. Do what you want to do. Right. But, you know.
But, like, what you're saying, too, is, like, you know, my mom is, like, it felt really nice. There was a cop standing outside the high school as the kids went back to school. And it's, like, yeah, but that, like, you know, something to that. Be, like, that way I know the kids are safe or whatever would be, like, I'm not necessarily, my mom didn't say something, but stuff like that is like
old
white people shit of like, well, that's good. Then you know everyone's safe. It's like, well, I bet, I guarantee 40.
Not everyone.
Yeah, not everyone. I guarantee a large swath of that population feels unsafe with the presence of a police officer, which is something you eventually have to learn where you're like, you meaning the us, the white world people, white privileged people who are like, I never felt unsafe but I never liked cops because I was just a punk kid, but I never felt,
right.
I never felt in danger like with cops around as I got older. But now recently I'm like, ooh, they're fuck these guys. It's like, it's got a whole new weird vibe to it where you're like, you're just like learning a lot of the stuff like, you know, the government, like all the shit you thought was like just there
to protect you.
This is a dumb, this is like a dumb analogy, but this is an analogy I gave recently and I'll just, I don't know if it was on this podcast or not, but I feel like I can relate to society, and this is so obviously, you know, myopic and just through my point of view, but like, it reminds me of being like 10 years old and being able to fall asleep in the car while my mom was driving. Then you get to be 14 and you're like, I think my mom is like bad at driving. Like, this is like, why am I, like, my neck hurt? Like, she's slamming on the brakes. She's driving super fast. Like, she's like, we've been in, like, she's like dinged a car in the parking lot with me, you know, and like all this stuff. And you're like, oh, and then eventually you get to be like 17 and you're like, I kind of would, I now I can drive. I see, I understand the road.
I should drive.
I should be driving. And then you get to be 25 and you go home and you go, give me the fucking keys, Joanne. Like, you're in shotgun. Like, and I relate that to like the, to like society just being like, yeah, I don't know, I feel safe. And then you're all of a sudden you're like, hey, didn't we miss this turn like five times? You're like, oh no, do I have to like be aware of what's going on? Because
I have to be a part of this.
I have a responsibility.
Yeah, it's like the eighth sandwich in a row that gets hair in it, and you're like, okay, I guess I gotta stand next to the guy when he makes it and just be like, hey, don't put the hair in it. Like that, no.
Leave the hair out.
I thought you
could
just handle that on your own, like make that decision on your own. But no,
but you can.
So now I gotta fucking send Ed Markey money. Like now that's what I'm doing. Now I'm like this guy who like up until like five, like you know, the first person I voted for was Obama. And now I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, well, hey, let's talk about this Massachusetts Senate race. Like, what?
You're down ticket at all.
I have to like now, and that feels insane, but like, do I have to start opening the shower curtain? Like, what other proactive things do I have to do to assuage my anxiety? And it's like, what else does that mean? Ending a fucking random story, like a random story that has like 11 tangents in it with, well, what else could that possibly mean? AKA a question. And it's like, both of you are like, there's not even an answer to this. And I lay it out like, and like thoughts, question. I'm just more or less a Venice bodybuilder posting QAnon shit at this point.
But I do think it's sort of like it's sort of like people like, there's this idea of like, oh, your fear, or like the gift of fear, or like having fear means like you have an intuition about the world, or like you should use your fear has meaning. Right. And I think now we live in the time where it's like, well, white people are afraid of black people in a way that like most of them are not aware of or would be willing to question.
Right.
So it's like, if a police officer feels afraid, that is not like an objective reality that we should then, and that, you know, and people have been talking about like qualified immunity for police officers. And it's like, a police officer's feeling about black people or any homeless people, mentally ill people, should not be what dictates whether or not if they murder them, that's a crime.
Right.
But that is sort of the basis of those decisions. It's like, well, I would feel scared if like a jury, like I would feel scared if I was in that situation. It's like, well, yeah, but you are just like everybody else. Like that fear is not a logical reason to say, well, then we get it and they're allowed to stay on the job, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, I think it's questioning why we're afraid and then being willing to be like, I'm just going to have to be afraid. And then we'll, until we get through to another part of society where I'm able to handle my fear in a different way. Or I need to get off the police force.
Right. Yeah.
And,
it's like,
and get another job.
It's if you're only comfortable engaging with someone of a different race or a different class, if you're only comfortable because you feel safe because you have a gun on your hip, then like I don't know if that's the job for you. Like to be out.
Then maybe you shouldn't have a gun.
Right. Right. And it's like, and I get it if you're like, I don't know, I'm too scared to go there without a gun. It's like, fair. But a lot of people live there who don't have guns. Like, you know what I mean? Right. And if you're only, if you could only go there with a gun, I don't think you should go there. You know, like,
yes.
Like,
exactly.
We're getting into fucking darker fear territory here, but for people to not, for cops to not understand the fear of them. Like, why wouldn't people be afraid of you?
Yes, they seem to be like, can you believe they're saying this about us? I was like, they, whoever is giving you training is doing a terrible job. Because for day one of training, it'd be like, here are all the things that have happened that people are going to be questioning cops about and that are reasonable. Here are all the fucked up things that happened. Like, the idea that cops should be like, can you believe all these mean things people are saying?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, of course. Like, who, like, it must be such an insular culture or like community where they genuinely aren't hearing people come in and be like, these are the five things that happened in the last 6 months that are going to make people on the street where you work be afraid of you.
Fabio got hit in the head with a seagull once on a roller coaster, and we all, like, if you say Fabio, that's what you think about.
Yes,
and that was once, like, eight years ago. Yes. All you can think about is that when you say Fabio, like, it's so a cop is like, I don't know why people are afraid of me. It's not like nationwide this has been happening for however long.
Yeah.
Like,
forever.
To not understand that is like, it's like, oh, you don't understand why you, like, an amateur MMA fighter with full sleeve tattoos and a gun and fucking sunglasses on isn't scary. Then I don't understand. Like, I don't, then what's wrong with you? Like,
yes. Yeah. Right. Something has gone wrong.
Now I fear people who don't fear the cops.
Yes.
Like, those people are now scary to me.
Right. Cause what do they know? What do they have? Like, who are they?
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what's your life that, like, this is good for you? Yeah. Like, what have you been up to? What have they protected you from and, like, covered your ass for?
Oh, yeah.
The rational fear of police officers. Yes. That's good. Yes. And if you want to make any argument, like, for cops are like, why are you afraid? It's people are allowed to be afraid of guns. Like, you know, you're like,
I'm afraid of all guns. All of them.
I will not. I'll be the first one to admit I'm an action movie fan. I love movies. I love guns. I love guns in movies. I think the people who should have guns are in movies and overseas defending our democracy. Whatever. Those are the only people that get guns in my book. And even that, like, let's have less people overseas defending our democracy. I'm not going to get into foreign policy on the Irrational Fears episode. But it's like, I'm afraid of guns. Like, how crazy is that to be? It's like, I'm in a car. Two people with guns are walking up to the window. That's absolutely horrifying. And if you're supposed to tell me, don't worry, they're cops, they have uniforms on, it's like, that doesn't make it less scary.
Yeah, the outfit isn't what's scary.
Right.
Yeah. Like, protecting me.
Yeah. The outfit will only protect them after they've killed me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's fucking crazy. Let's leave this with, like, what about a fear we've gotten over? Has there been a fear, any of you, that you're like, now I can actually handle this?
Flying. I used to be very afraid, never to the point where I couldn't get on a plane, but there was a couple years, I think my anxiety was just really bad, and then I can't remember if I maybe hadn't started therapy yet or something, I was sort of in flux or whatever, and there was a couple years where, like, the entire time on a flight, I was like, negotiating with God, you know, sort of like, well, the plane can go down if it needs to, but, you know, sort of be like trying to figure out.
Yeah.
None of them went down. And then I think just, like, I got a better handle on my anxiety in general. So now I'm fine on a plane. Like, it's just my anxiety is a different thing. I think of, like, anxiety as like a spotlight. And I think that's true culturally and societally too, where it's like, where do we direct the spotlight of our anxiety? And for me, the spotlight is like, healthcare and, you know, like the climate change, like, it's on these larger things which are more terrifying.
I will say, to keep your analogy going, spotlight, I feel like maybe someone threw the house lights on in, like, 2018,
and it's like, no,
all my anxieties are here, and it's like,
everything around us,
it's like, oh no, right in the front row is global warming, you know, it's like, this is your life, Hallie Kiefer.
It's like cats, where, like, I have to, like, go out to the crowd and, like, crawl over people.
All of your irrational fears of the light shining on. That's one of those big ones. And, like, you weren't too afraid to do it, but it took so much mental energy and, like, flying. Like, all you thought about leading up to it was the flight. All you thought about, like,
getting there the day, I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before. Like, and also it's one of those things, I think it is because it's so out of your control, where it's like, if the plane's going down, then there's something I could do, but that does not take the edge off.
Right.
If anything, to me, that makes it much worse.
Lack of control is tough.
Well, there's that level of, like, where lack of control is tough, but then there's also that self-awareness of, like, I would actually blow this. So it's maybe like, who knows who this pilot is, but I would definitely blow it if I was in charge. So I'll just trust this faceless man or woman
in the booth.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But once you, real quick, Hallie, started flying, did you feel like, because there is that thing of like, just do it. After you flew a couple of times, it did knock down your anxiety about it, right?
Yeah, I think if I had stopped, if I had leaned into my anxiety, because I have anxiety about so many things, but it's like, most of them are things where it's like, well, I have to do that, so I just have to do it. And flying is an example of like, my fear was not so great, and I also really hated the idea that I was going to limit my life by, you know, and also I went to a hypnotist one time, and I don't think it did anything, but I believe in hypnotism, it didn't do anything for me. But I think like by continuing to do it, it definitely, I think it helped. And even if it didn't help, I'm glad that I did, you know, even if it was uncomfortable. Because once you let anxiety dominate or like control your behavior, it's only going to reaffirm that behavior. Like I would only be then more and more convinced that flying is dangerous, and would be like this whole, I just know myself that, and everyone's anxiety, where it's like, it would have been impossible then. I would have gone years, and then if I had to get on a plane, it would have been so much worse.
It would
have
calcified harder and harder and harder. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that's like where I get that brain power of like, all right, well, you know what? I just have to do it, because then it won't be as scary. And like, that's, I mean, it's not necessarily psychologically, it's not just like psychologically sound for me to be like, just power through and do it, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But let's wrap it up real quick. We might as well. I didn't realize how long we've been going, because I am excited to scream.
I can do this all day, honestly. It's
turns
so easy.
Out we're afraid of a lot of shit. But
yeah.
I'm afraid of, everything. I think that I've actually been accumulating more specific fears. Like, I used to be way better about flying, and as I get older, I'm having more and more trouble with it. Like, I'm more of a nervous flyer.
I wanted to also address that at some point, in that the math is, as you get more informed, like when you're a kid, you're jumping off a cliff, and then when you get older,
you don't
you're
know
like,
any better.
I could snap my neck, and then all of a sudden you're like, I never did it again. Like, I never flew.
Yeah. Like, as a kid, I was like into like roller coasters and like rides, and now I'm like, you couldn't pay me to go on one. Like, absolutely not. I'm not interested. I'm like, my back would go out. It's definitely poorly maintained. I just know, like, as I get older and accumulate knowledge, I am only doing less things and like more afraid of stuff.
Yeah.
Which, great.
Wonderful. It's going to eventually just be home with the door shut and the windows locked and all everything. I'll be like, I'm safe here, finally.
Yeah. This is fine. And it's like, now that's what I'm doing. I don't leave my house.
Right. We're doing it now.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys tell the shitheads a little bit about Ruined?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we have a horror movie podcast. It's a horror movie comedy podcast. And basically, I love horror movies. Allison hates them. And I don't want to say I get off in a sexual way, but I get off in a spiritual and emotional way, telling her the plots of these movies and really just trying to scare her with them and torture her. And then sort of we riff on, sort of the elements that she thinks are scary. And then at the end.
Yes.
Allison gives her take on the film based on how I've told it, basically.
And, like, this all stems from the fact that even though I hate horror movies, I always want to know what happens in them. Like, at first I thought it was, like, culturally, like, I want to be able to talk about it with everybody. But I was like, no, I just, like, I see a trailer and I'm like, I need to know how that wraps up and, like, what was the twist and, like, who what happened.
It kind of takes away the movie's power over you, too, is if you're like, well, who cares? Hereditary, it's just about the demon, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, if you're able to, like then that movie has no hold over you anymore, because now you're like, well, I know the premise. I can never watch it, but I know the premise.
No, never.
So I think it's definitely for people who like are afraid of horror movies or afraid of horror. Like, I just don't know if I have it in me. And then also I feel like it's for people like me, where it's like, I listen to and watch people talk about movies I've seen a million times. Like,
same.
I watch YouTube videos. I listen to podcasts about movies. I just love hearing those stories retold. So I think for me, that was also part of it, is like, I just like that. I might have seen a movie five times. I love rewatching things. You know, I'm not saying I'm a spoiler truther. I just mean, like, I think that there's something there for everybody, even if you've already seen these movies, that I think you'll enjoy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you guys are fucking hysterical, first of all. So that's all.
If
that's not enough of a reason to listen to a comedy podcast.
It should be, but for a lot of people,
I got to dress it up with like 25. Yeah, it's like it's called High and Mighty, and sometimes they get high. Blah blah. It's like no, it's just like it's funny people talking.
Just like people talking.
Right, we're just hanging out. Yeah, we're just hanging out, shooting the shit.
Yeah.
Our first three episodes drop August 25th. So
they're out already.
Guys, please.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, subscribe, rate, listen, enjoy.
Get over there. It's ruined. And where are you guys on social media if my listeners want to follow you there? Do you have like a ruined Twitter or your own personal Twitters? I know you do. The answer to that question.
We have personal Twitters. I'm at Allison Leiby on Twitter and Instagram personally. Yeah. And then on Instagram, we're at Ruined Podcast.
Hell yeah.
And Twitter is going to also be that, yeah, but TBD. We're in a little bit of a Twitter jail.
It's like, yeah, like the account has been locked for reasons Twitter has, we don't know. They thought we were, yeah, who knows what they thought was going on. But yeah, I'm at Hallie Kiefer. And yeah, follow either of us. We'll post about it. We'll also post the movies. We're going to post the movies the end of the week before. So nice. if you haven't seen it...
You can have time to catch up.
Yeah, feel free to get spooked.
I will definitely be listening. I have a bad relationship with movie podcasts that I like in that I won't listen to an episode until I've watched the movie.
That's perfect.
I watch shit. Yeah. I listen to shit so out of order on like a few of the movie podcasts I listen to, so it's very confusing, but I look forward to having another movie cue list to go off of. So I'm psyched to listen, guys.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Please, thanks for coming
on.
This is
so much fun.
This is a blast. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out my other podcast, Action Boys, if you like to hear people talk about movies for longer than the length of the movies themselves. It's perfect for you. And as always, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.